So this is the end of the share that we were talking about before. The Kliyakar says there was a surprising group of people who thought that the mitzvahs we do in this world only have the power to affect this world, but they have no power to do anything in the next world. So in other words, every mitzvah that you do, it does something here, but it doesn't do anything there. Which is why the Torah never mentioned anything about the reward you'll get in the Olam Haba. Right? The pshat is that, oh, says these people, mitzvahs are so unpowerful, they can do things down here, they can cause rain, they can cause other things, but they won't affect anything in the world to come. They don't affect your neshama. They have nothing to do with that. For that reason, Rashi tells us this pasuk refers to the reward destined for the neshama when it reaches Olam Haba. So you can see there's something waiting for us in the future itself, and that's what this pasuk hints to. That leads to another really important question. Why in the world does the Torah never speak about the reward waiting for us in the next world? Why in the world doesn't the Torah speak about Olam Haba? Why only speak about this world and what we're going to get over here? And it's throughout. We look throughout everywhere. Parshas Re'eh, Parshas Kisavo, Parshas Bechukosai over here. So the Kliyakar quotes the Abarbanel, and he summarizes seven of his points based on the various Rishonim, why the Torah does this, and that's what we're going to do right now. The Rambam says, is the first one he mentions in Morin Avuchim. Every reward and punishment mentioned in the Torah is all about allowing us to do or not do mitzvos. If we do mitzvos properly, we'll be zocher to remove all possible menios from us. We'll be able to do more mitzvos, b'shleimus. That's mitzvah goreris mitzvah. And when we don't, unfortunately, then we can't do more mitzvos, and that's avera goreris avera. When we have money, there's no hunger, there's no sadness, there's no war, etc., then we'll obviously have more time to do what we're supposed to do, and we'll be able to do mitzvos. The real schar of Olam Haba is never mentioned. So we'll end up doing all our mitzvos l'shem shamayim, says the Rambam, instead of doing them for the reward that we hope to get for them. So there is reward in this world, and it's mitzvah goreris mitzvah, avera goreris avera, but the real schar, never mentioned. You're supposed to do things on a higher level. That's how the Rambam puts it. The Ibn Ezra says in Parshas Hazinah, this is our second answer, that the rewards destined for us in Olam Haba are very difficult to understand, and only one of very many people will fully fathom what it's talking about. Physical beings don't get spiritual things. Therefore, the Torah hid it from the normal people, the Hamonam, who wouldn't get it anyway, and allowed it to be given over through Torah Shebaal Peh, where only those who really understand will be able to hear about it. That's the point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I know, I get this. That's the reason why. Says the Ibn Ezra, that's always hidden for us, because it's things that we don't understand. How are you going to explain Olam Haba? How are you going to explain the spiritual world? There's no way to do it. Rabbeinu Bechai and the Ramban, as we set up above, said that the soul, the neshama, is naturally inclined to go back to its source. That means that all the rewards and the punishments that are mentioned here are somewhat supernatural. It doesn't make much sense that rain's going to fall when we learn Torah properly. And when we don't learn Torah properly, all of a sudden it stops raining and there's going to be... That doesn't make any sense. But once we hear about Kares back in Parshas Achronim, it makes sense that the natural progression for the soul would be to go back to its origin. That would be the idea. It receives a reward for just being able to go back. The fact that it can go home is in and of itself a reward. So in fact, there is 100% a reward to the soul, and it's not just hinted to. It was very clear from the Chumash what happens to the soul after death. Now we're just asking, so what about the supernatural business that one gets when one does mitzvahs? And that the reward is in this world. It doesn't make any sense that a mitzvah should reward you in this world, says the Ramban, but it does. And it doesn't make any sense that something should be punished in this world, but it does. But the fact that there's something in the afterlife, of course there is. What do you think? That's what the idea of Kares is trying to tell you, and that's what the Rabbeinu Bechai and the Ramban say. The Kuzari and the Rabbeinu Nisim say a fourth answer. They say a very powerful answer that has been used the last 1,000 years many times over. Many people back in the day believed that the world ran a certain way. There was no such thing as Bechira, no real choice, and no Hashkacha Pratis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, made a plan. We play into that plan, so everything is basically already set and preordained. Because of that, Hashem wanted to show everyone that he was, of course, in charge of everything that happens in the world, and everyone makes choices that lead to them being rewarded or punished because of what they did. Because it makes sense. If everyone thinks that Hashem isn't in charge, Hashem doesn't care, and the world is already preordained and there's nothing you can do, HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore shows us, no, what you do matters. What your choices are matters. You will be rewarded and punished based on what you do. According to the answer, the question is not, why not tell us what will be in the next world, but more like, we get that Hashem is in charge up there and will do whatever he's going to do in the next world. How do we know Hashem has anything to do with us down here? And that's what the Torah is answering. Aside from that, it's pretty obvious that if someone wanted to fake it and claim that he could reward or punish you, he would claim that those rewards or punishments are relegated to a time far in the future, knowing that he couldn't really promise anything in that future. in the near future, and he won't be called out for anything that's in the far future. So we might as well do this. Harota l'shaker, if you want to lie, yarchik edav, you keep your edim as far away as possible. Only our Torah promises rewards in this world, because Hashem can do that. While every other religion has to promise things after death, knowing that there's not going to be anyone around who can confirm or deny such a thing. And it's not about the actual reward or punishment, because again, at the end of the day, what happens when a tzaddik has something bad that happens to him, or a rasha has something good that happens to him? That's not the point. The point is the promise was made that way. No nation that knows that they can't follow up with it would make that promise. We make that promise in the Torah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu will follow up on it. And that's the idea behind it. The promise in and of itself is the greatest promise in the world. He's promising this world. While all the other religions are promising things in a different world, and they can't follow up. Rasadi Goner, Mori Nebuchim, say a fifth answer, that before we accepted the Torah, we believed that those who worshipped idols, right, that they were doing something right. This is before we believed in Hashem. They did many different services to bring rain in the world. Think of the American Indians, as well as all the blessings to the crops, right? That's what the Indians did. The Indians dove into this god and that god. They brought rain, they brought blessings, they brought all these things down. When the Torah was given, we were told you can't do such things. So the people were worried. They asked themselves, how are we going to get rain? How are we going to be successful with our crops? Hashem's going to take care of, you know, the neshamos. But what about everything else? And therefore, Hashem filled the Torah with promises that if you keep mitzvos and learn Torah, then you don't have to worry. Shefa, hatzlacha, bracha will come down. You won't need to do anything else. There's no need to tell them about Olam Haba. That was something, says the Rav Sadia Gaon, that everyone took for granted. They weren't guaranteed through their services to their Avodah Zarah anyway. They all knew that. They understood Olam Haba. That wasn't an issue to them whatsoever. Their issue was Olam Hazeh. What do we do about Olam Hazeh? What do we do about our parnas? What do we do about stuff like that? And that's why the Torah only mentions Olam Hazeh stuff, not Olam Haba. The Gazari mentions another answer as well. The promises given in the Torah are exactly what the other nations promise will happen to their adherents in the next world. We promise these things in this world itself. They promise physical pleasures in Olam Haba. We promise physical pleasures in this world. They claim that a person goes to Olam Haba, right? And they claim in such a way that they connect with their God in this way and that way and whatever it is. We believe that can happen in Olam Hazeh, that we can connect with our God in an awesome way through the physical. That's what's being promised in the Pasuk. It should be almost a kol shekein. If we're willing to promise you that even in this world you can connect with God, talk with him, have a relationship with him, and do what he wants, then kol shekein, you'll get an even greater reward in the next world. Kol shekein, you're going to get stuff. If we're promising stuff here, then of course you're going to get stuff there. Nevuah should be the biggest proof to this, since we have people that are connected to their very source. Our seventh answer and final answer is the Sefer Yikarim and the Ramban in Parshas Ekev. They say that every reward mentioned in the Torah is said b'derech klal, for the multitudes, not individuals. Rain, food, hatzlacha, everything can be promised to Bnei Yisrael as a whole. And that's what the Torah is all about. Olam Haba is centered around an individual. The Torah doesn't go into the rewards of individuals. That's not what they do in this world. So in other words, that's the easiest answer. The pshat is that if there's something that needs to be done for the klal, and that's rain, food, hatzlacha, things that deal with the klal, that can be promised in the Torah. Olam Haba? No, it can't be. That's individualistic. That is not promised in the Torah. Torah is not about an individual's reward. Every person will be judged and get what they get in the end. But that's not what the Torah wants to know, and not what it wants to speak about. In the end, says the Kli Yakar, it makes no sense that the Torah would only reward us for things in this world. Why would we be different from any other nation, right, who also ruled part of the world and became super wealthy? That just makes no sense whatsoever. I mean, we see that there are nations that are doing evil things and yet still are rewarded. That can't be it. It's got to be there's something different. There's got to be a next world. There's got to be an Olam Haba. So that's not a Shiloh. The only question is, why the Torah didn't give it? I think these seven answers, if you use them together, can answer the question very beautifully.